When the apostles went out and turned the world upside down, that was their message right there. He's alive. Praise the Lord. Oh, aren't you glad he lives? Praise God. Hallelujah. I heard someone singing this afternoon, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's been good to be in God's house tonight, hasn't it? Amen. I have no special voices. I'll just have to use the one I have here. Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles this evening to 2 Peter chapter 3? 2 Peter chapter 3. You don't have to be a prophet to know that we are living in perilous times. You know, some things we've heard over and over, we've heard in church, if you've been in church any period of time, that in the last days there'll be a great falling away. And as I preach tonight, I want you to keep in mind that being privileged to be shepherd of this flock, I just feel the burden of warning folks about what happens in perilous times. Amen. It's not a time to slack up. It's not a time to give up. It's not a time to loosen up. It's a time to go full steam ahead, get a hold of this thing, and say, I'm going with Jesus. As they sang this morning, I'm going with Jesus all the way. I have some things I'd like to share with you tonight. If you'd stand, I'm going to be reading two verses. I want you to notice verse 17, but before I read these two verses, I want you to know this is in the context of the end of the world. Just the verses prior to this, it talks about the elements melting with the fervent heat, the earth being destroyed, and how because of that we should live godly and righteous. But notice what he says in verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, listen to the warning, Peter. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So it's a warning. Beware lest you fall. And I want to stress that, because let's look at verse 18 now. Here's the preventative from falling. Here's a preventative from being deceived. Here it is. Don't be deceived. Don't fall. But do what? Read it with me. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Everybody say it together. Amen. I want to look at the second word in verse 18 and entitle that tonight. That'll be my title and theme. I simply want to say, grow. 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 In some cases, I feel tempted to put it this way. Grow up. Grow up. I get bugged when folks do this, but I want you to do it with me. Would you just say that with me? Could we all together? Grow. Come on, help me out, Brother Dale. You help Brother Brian out. Help me. Let's say it together. Grow. Amen. Isn't that good instruction? Peter said, if you'll grow, you won't be deceived. You won't falter. Amen. Just a little more on these monitors tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, the enduring, everlasting truth of your word. Thank you for your people. I pray you'd bless them, Lord, after the preaching and altar service, as they go their ways, Lord. Bless them in the week ahead. Bless them with your grace and mercy, Lord, every age that's here. Now, Lord, in the next few moments, take your word and make it a living thing in our hearts as you prepare your people for the end time. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The parsonage has different residents, and I know they've painted over it. But in one of the doorways between the dining room and the kitchen, on the door facing there, I had taken a tape measure, and starting at about 4'9", I had put half-inch marks with the numbers all the way up to 6'4". And then all up there in pencil and pen through the years, I had the marks of Hannah and Ashlyn and Micah and Andrew as they began to grow all those marks. They went and painted over that. But anyway, it was there. It was one of the hardest things to give up, seeing that. And I'm sure you have a place like that at your home. We've started a new one for Andrew down in our basement there on the door facing. Got the measure, got the marks there. But all through the years, you know, when the kids start hitting that growth spurt, they'd say, I mean, I'd be real relaxed in the chair or something or busy involved, and they'd say, Dad, come see if I've grown. Come see if I've grown. So we'd go to the wall there, and I'd get something square. And, you know, they stretch as hard as they can, and, you know, and they'll stretch, and you'll put that there, and you'll make the mark. And just to see their face when they back off, and compare the mark from the last one and say, I've grown. How many remembers that with your children? Of course, this year already, Andrew's grown about 4 or 5 inches, and it's just going boom, 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 boom. Hey, amen. I've grown. I watched Micah grow to my height. He claims a quarter inch on me, but he has hair on his head, and I don't. So all things being considered, it's about equal. Sometimes, though, you know, I'd have to tell them, they'd look and say, no, you didn't grow. I remember the disappointment on their face then too. They hadn't grown. Sometimes I've said, I can't believe. Mom said, Dad said, they said, I can't believe how much you've grown. Amen. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I know this is going to be real deep. I like to share deep stuff. But as they went through the years, listen, the marks always went up. They didn't ever start going down. Isn't that the way God intended it to be for his people? That we grow and never digress, never move back? Amen? Peter said, grow. I want us to ask a question. You ask it personally, if you will, across the building. Have I grown in Christ? Have I grown in grace? Have I grown in the Word? Have I grown in purity? I won't fault you if you don't, but how many members just a few weeks ago I preached a message, are you really saved? You see, now listen, folks, I'm talking to you. The reason I preach that is because there's a real danger in the church world of our land, because there's a lot of stress on getting saved. And by the way, that's important, and I believe in salvation by grace, faith in Christ, grace alone. If you don't believe that, you should have been in the newcomers class tonight. There's nothing we can bring that commends us to God, not a one of us. I'm so glad that salvation is by faith and faith alone and not by works, aren't you? And there's a lot of emphasis on getting saved and being saved from sin and having your sins forgiven, being saved from hell, being set on the road to heaven. But the missing message is that if somebody is truly saved, truly born again, they have a change of nature. And when their nature is changed, things start changing in their lives. And I preach that message, if there's really been a change, as time goes by, fruit begins to come into a person's life. What I didn't preach that night, and I'm preaching tonight, is that fruit only comes by growth. You can plant those seeds and they can even come up, but if those plants don't grow, Brother Rose, they'll never be fruit. We preached about the fruit of holiness and love and joy and winning others, but it takes growth to bring fruit. And a mature, when something brings fruit, Brother Bill, when it's grown till it produces fruit, we call that mature. How many knows we are in a time when we need mature Christians? folks that mature in Christ, amen, they bear the fruit. And so I want to emphasize again tonight, it's one thing to be saved, it's one thing to be converted, it's one thing to be born again, and it's another thing to grow in Christ, in the knowledge and in the grace of Jesus Christ. I make this statement, I believe it's true. If something is alive, whether plant or animal, if it's alive and it's not growing, something is wrong with it and it'll soon die. How many believe that's a true statement? Plant or animal, if it's alive, it quits growing. Amen. Something's wrong with it, and it'll soon die. We got a lot of babies in the church. Aren't you glad for that? I want to tell you something. These parents with a baby, if that baby never gains weight, if that baby never begins to try to focus its eyes, if that baby never starts having muscle coordination, if that baby never has any increase in its height, amen, parents would rightfully be alarmed, and they would be distressed, and they would seek out a doctor to find out why, because something is wrong if there's no growth. And yet in the houses of God, there are many, they look at their lives, they've come to Christ, but there's little or no growth, and yet they are none concerned about the lack of growth of our soul. I'll tell you how we ought to be. If we can look at our soul and put it up against the wall to measure, and we see no growth, there ought to be alarm. Something's wrong. I want to get it right. I want to grow in Jesus Christ. Grow, Peter said. Wouldn't we freak out if we had a 10 or 12-year-old here that we saw them sitting there in the pew drinking on a bottle, and then their parents had to take them out to change their diaper? Wouldn't we be concerned about that? And I'm not talking about the sad cases where there's illness and disease and congenital things. I'm talking about somebody that was born, amen, the way we ought to be born, without any disease, and yet here they're 10 or 12 years old and they're sitting in church with a bottle. Look straight at me. Don't look at anywhere else. How many knows if we could see spiritually, there's folks that are 50, 60, 12, 13, 14, that are still sitting in church with a bottle in their mouth. Isn't that right? Never had the growth. You see, there's many that have been Christians for years. Listen to me, will you? I know that's rhetorical. You will. I know you will. You're always kind. But there are those who have been Christians for years, and they've not grown. They still get upset and hurt over the smallest things. Their feelings are on their shoulders. How long have you been saved? 50 years. Why are you upset? Well, the preacher walked right by me and didn't shake my hand this morning. Right? I mean, they've been saved for years, but they've never really made any attempt to control their anger. There are those who've been saved for years, and they get worked up about things, and they take sides on issues, and they have no first-hand knowledge about that thing. I'll tell you what Proverbs says. It says, he's a fool that answereth the matter before he heareth it. If it's second, third, and information, amen, that's not a time to get upset and take sides on an issue. They've been saved, and yet they continually immerse themselves in certain sins and defend those sins. They've been saved for years, but they will not take responsibility and be faithful and reliable in the house of God, the work of God. They've been saved by years, and they're partaking of things of the world. They know it's hurting them, but they won't lay them aside. They've been saved for years, but it's still a selfish attitude. If they don't sing my kind of song, if they don't have my kind of preacher, if they don't serve my kind of ice cream, I'm not coming to that place. Amen. It's a person that's been saved for years, but in a service, it's about me. It's about me. Amen. Saved for years, never settle down, never get their roots in to a place, but bounce from here to there. I'm telling you, amen, folks can get upset at the mention of those things, but every one of those things is a sign of immaturity and a lack of growth. And if people really want to make it to heaven, if people really want to please the Lord, if folks really want to be like Jesus, they want to grow beyond those things. Can you say amen? Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How can I know there's growth in my life? First of all, I am progressing. I am changing. I am developing. I'm not the same place I was 6 months ago. Amen. I'm not worsening. How can I know there's growth? I'm starting to bear fruit. I see holiness enter into my life and mine. I have a greater love for folks than I ever had. I can tell when I'm growing, when I find myself obeying Christ, witnessing of His love to others, having a joy in times of darkness. Oh, I just want to grow, don't you? You see, lack of growth amongst Christians has always been a danger. Let's hear from the first century. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. He said, "Brethren, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Amen. How many like to have the apostles for a revival? I'm preaching on growing, but I hadn't called anybody a baby yet, have I? That's what Paul did. He said, "You're babies," didn't he? He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Hitherto you were not able to bear it. Look what the writer of Hebrews said. Verse 12, for in chapter 5, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not a strong meat. I mean, you've been saved long enough, the writer said, you ought to be winning souls to Christ. And yet you're still having to pray through in every revival. You've been saved long enough. You ought to be stepping forward to teach a class, stepping forward to be in the choir, stepping forward to be in Sidewalk Sunday School. You've been saved long enough. You ought to be a teacher. And yet someone's having to come to you and say, oh, don't get upset, or don't do this, or don't do that. And that's what they had in the first century. It's always been a danger. And that's why Peter said, if we return to our text, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, I like the way you ended. To Him be glory. Isn't that how we started the service? To Him be glory both now and forever. Aren't you glad we don't have to stay the way we are? We can grow. Hallelujah. Amen. And what He says here, grow in grace. I want to remind us of this. It was grace that brought us to Christ. It was grace that took us in when we were undeserving. It was grace that changed our life. And it is grace that will bring growth. Grow in grace. Grow in the favor of God. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord. You know what? Let's just put it this way. If I am grateful for the grace that saved me, if I'm grateful for grace, I will grow in grace. I said, if I'm grateful for grace, I will grow in grace. Look what Paul said in Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It was grace that saved us. But notice how grace goes on. Verse 12, that grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. In other words, grace saved us, but grace helps us grow. Hallelujah. If I'm grateful for grace, I grow in grace. I think the question is tonight, or the awareness is, as a believer, I'm either growing or I'm slowing or I'm going. I believe every believer is in one of those three places. They're either growing or they're slowing or they're going. Amen. I want to be growing, not slowing. I want to be growing, not going. Amen. Folks that quit growing, they begin to leave. Amen. They begin to find the world attractive. I also want to say, and I'm thankful for this, and it's a wonderful thing. I've been dealing with some newcomers, or teaching them, I should say. But one of their discouragements is that they begin to not think they're growing. Now that can be worked with. There's a lot of help and strength for someone that don't think they're growing. And sometimes I tell them, you know, that's like grandma coming to visit. Mom and dad have been around the kids day after day. They see them every day. and they don't notice that the kids are growing. But you let grandma come to visit, and she'll say, "My, these kids have grown." And I say to some newcomers to Christ, they begin to get discouraged. "I'm not growing. I'm not changing." I said, "Oh, you just need to ask somebody, amen, that saw you when you came into this altar and got saved. And now they see you tonight or in this service. They'll tell you, you have grown." Amen. That's wonderful. I said, that's wonderful when someone doesn't think they're growing, but they're loving God. They're serving God. They're getting into the Word. Amen. And even though Satan tries to discourage him and tell them there's no growth, amen, you can see the growth. You know what I'm saying tonight? Amen. I can tell our newcomers are growing in Christ, but there are others, they're deceived into thinking that they're okay, even though they have not grown in a long time. Amen. But let me tell you this. If you're one of those who are getting discouraged because there's been bumps in your walk with God, and there's been times that maybe you have failed and had a mistake, and I've shared this many times through the years, but let me share it one more time. I want you to think of the whole cross of the front here as graph paper. And right down here on the floor, right here, I want you to think of that as the moment when you got saved. And then way over here, way up here, way up at the top here, is either when Jesus comes or we die and the resurrection happens. It's way up here. That's where we want to be, right? Amen. When you get saved, amen, there ought to be growth. There ought to be growth. The reason we get discouraged, though, we're doing pretty good and we have a failure. And we're doing pretty good, but something gets to us and we get out of sorts. And we're doing pretty good, but we get tempted. And it's those dips that bother us. But if you can envision that graph, here's the thing. We have stumblings, we have problems, we have faults. But a person that wants to grow, you could take a line, Brother Keith, and either draw it underneath the dips or on top the high points, but either way you draw the line, it's still going up. Hallelujah. There's still growth. Glory to God. Amen. Don't let those times you falter bother you. If you want to grow, hallelujah, when it's all said and done, you're still getting closer to where God would have you be. Oh, I just feel like growing, don't you? Amen. Don't be discouraged. Just say, I want to grow. And hallelujah. Amen. I'm not one that ever likes to call attention to problems or situations, but folks aren't blind and neither are they ignorant. And for a sustained amount of time, amen, Union Road has had one difficulty after the other, either in our individual families or in the church as a whole. And I'll tell you what, those who want to grow, what the mature will do, they will say, this is not a time to slack up, this is not a time to be found missing, but this is a time to bind together, this is a time to reach together, pull together, be steady, be strong, be faithful, be unmovable. Hallelujah. Not let any little thing get in the way. That's the way a mature Christian acts. Hallelujah. I tell you, we can make it in this thing. If we have a desire to grow, as we grow individually, the church will grow. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? How many wants to grow tonight? Grow. I'm going to be very brief at this, maybe too vague, but I want to try for just a few moments here to talk about how to grow in grace. I'm not going to give practicalities. I'm going to give attitudes and motives. First of all, to grow in grace, it begins by wanting to grow. If you want to grow, want to grow. I'll make this promise. Here's another one of those deep things. I say that tongue in cheek. Nobody has ever grown in Christ who did not have a desire to grow in Him. Now, this is a little different. I mean, physically, you can be a 12-year-old boy and say, I'm going to grow to 6 foot. But Jesus said you can't by taking thought add one cubic to your stature. Physically, you can't grow just because you want. But I'm telling you, spiritually, the only way you grow is that you want to grow. You're so glad to get in. You're so glad to be saved. But you don't want to stay where Jesus saved you. You want to grow in this thing. Hallelujah. Let me make it third party here. The only way my garden's going to grow is if I want it to grow. If I want it to grow, I'll do the hard tilling. I'll pull the weeds. Amen. I'll kill the bugs. But it's only going to grow if I want it to grow. Growing starts with a desire. You know, it's funny sometimes, and I'm not accusing anybody, I'm just talking in general, but how people get spiritual truths all wrong. You know, there's one way to respond to this tonight. You mean I have to grow? It's kind of like when you preach on sanctification. You mean I have to be sanctified to make it to heaven? Oh, we get it all wrong. It's not that I have to grow. It's that I can grow. And I want to grow. I want to grow. I don't want to be overcome by this world. I don't want to become more like this world. I want to grow. I'm trying to download something I just read in passing just a while ago. What did that say? Maybe it won't come to me. Something about, it's not come to me. I shouldn't even mention, but something about, I'm not going to use God's grace as an excuse to walk in the flesh. I'm going to use His power as a reason to walk in the Spirit. None of this about serving God should ever be used as an excuse for walking in the flesh. Everything about this ought to be a reason of advancing, progressing, amen, growing in Him. I want to grow. Think of a 12-year-old boy again. They want to grow. I've never yet seen a 12 or 13-year-old boy saying, you know, I don't want to grow. I want to stay and be 4'8" the rest of my life. It never happened. Have you ever met someone that did that? Every one of them. How many years you was growing? You wanted to grow, right? You wanted to be as tall as Dad. Hallelujah. Amen. I've watched my boys outgrow my shoe size. I got pretty small feet for my height. It's a good thing because I sure stick my foot in my mouth a lot. So it's a good thing when they're not too big. But those young men, they like to grow. Amen. They want to grow. It's a natural part. Amen. And I believe it's that way when someone really gets a hold of grace. They want to grow. Secondly, stay where growth is possible. Stay where growth is possible. Amen. I'm not a botanist and I can't remember. I read this years and years ago. Heard it several times since. But there are plants in Alaska, because of their short summers, that never get any bigger than a weed of 12 to 18 inches tall. That's as big as they get. And then winter comes and their growth is arrested. But they say you can take that very same plant and plant it way down south or in the tropic, and it'll grow like a huge tree. I'm telling you, where you're at is very important to how you grow. Amen. Where you're at is important to where you grow. Now, I want to make something clear before I progress with this. Did you know a Christian can grow in any environment if he doesn't have a choice? I have seen that in this church. I've seen young people that the environment of their home was anti-Christian. We have ladies serving the Lord tonight in this service. And the family situation, the home situation, is anti-church. If you don't have a choice, you can grow anywhere. Amen? If you don't have a choice, and that's the school you attend, it may be the most wicked public school that there is in the United States. And if you don't have a choice, you can grow right there. At work, it could be the most wicked work environment around. And if you have no choice, that's just your work, you can grow. But I'm telling you, if you do have a choice, we grow when we choose the environment that is conducive to growth. Amen? We don't put ourselves in places where we cannot grow, where we cannot mature. And Jesus Christ, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about environment. Amen? Hang with the wrong crowd and you'll never grow. Never, ever. It won't happen. Visit the wrong worldly places and you won't grow. Put yourself in places where the spiritual emphasis is not what it ought to be, and you won't grow. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful God has given us a family of God here that if folks want to grow, they can grow. Amen. I've been, as an evangelist, I've been in churches across this land. I'm not being derogatory of any of them, but we got some of the best Sunday school teachers you'll find anywhere. We do. We do. We got some elders of maturity and strength. And I'm telling you, we got a youth pastor and his wife that love the Lord. And there's no excuse in this environment of not growing in Jesus Christ. This isn't about the flesh. This isn't about worldly things. This is about we want all that God has for us and be prepared when Jesus comes. Oh, I like the environment. How many likes the environment? I mean, just think of the services today. And I'm so grateful for that. The way the Spirit of the Lord moved in the service this morning and what we've experienced here tonight. Keep yourself. I just want to say again, I got to move on. But stay where growth is possible. And then another very general thing, but take in what brings growth. Take in what brings growth. And I know with plants, it's minerals and it's water. I mean, you give a plant what it needs, and it will take that in. And as it takes that in, that's what causes it to grow. Take in what brings growth. Young people, do you remember way back? You know, way back about whatever it is, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, way back. What was the song? Read your Bible. Take it in. Pray every day, and you'll do what? Grow. Would you like to sing it? How many would like to sing it? How many would like the youth to sing it? Okay, we ought to have the adults to sing it since they're putting you on the spot. How basic is that? Take in the word. You'll grow. Amen. Amen. Take in the right things. Take in wholesome music. I promise you something. I promise you. Mark it down. You can do the research, but I promise you, no Christian has ever grown listening on a steady basis to secular music. Never happened. Ever. Take in the right things. That song, Read Your Bible, Pray Every Day. I won't tell you which one it was. The cost of my illustrations has grown exorbitantly, but one of them was very young and still in a car seat, and I don't remember if it was vacation or just a real upheaval in schedule, but it had been several days since we had been able to get together and read the Bible and pray at night. And just out of the blue, I'm driving down the road, and that little voice came from the car seat. Dad, what? Am I shrinking? And I looked in the rearview mirror and said, you look the same size. No, Dad, I must be shrinking. No, you're the same size. In fact, you're getting... No, Dad, I'm shrinking. And finally, Sandra, she's more spiritual now. She caught on. She said, oh, it's from that song they sing. Neglect your Bible and to pray every day. And you'll what? Shrink. You know, those little songs are cute, but they're very, very, very true. We have to take in what brings growth. What we listen to, what we see. Amen. I want to take in what brings growth. Can you say amen? You know, I've heard an excuse through the years, and I heard it recently. And here's what I heard. You know, sometimes people, you know, they get disgruntled, and they'll say about a church, I'm just not getting fed there. You ever heard that? Now, I want to tell you, I'm not dumb. I mean, I believe there's places you could go, and I'm not being critical, it's just a reality, but I believe there's places you could go that you would not be fed. But I also wonder, why is it always, I'm not getting fed? Why is it never, I'm not eating? Think about it. I'm not eating. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad for folks that like to eat the Word of God. They're hungry for it. Praise God. I just heard someone judges the length of my sermons by how many mitts it takes to get through it. So I've got 4-mitt sermons and 5-mitt sermons and 10-mitt sermons. Amen. How many's glad for the Word of God? And I want, if that ever hits you, listen to me, if that ever hits you, I'm just not being fed. That Sunday school class, I'm not being fed. That youth pastor, I'm not being fed. That pastor, I'm not being fed. If that ever hits you, stop and ask yourself for a moment, wait a minute. Maybe it's I'm not being fed. Maybe it's that I'm not eating. Amen. Take in what brings growth. Amen. As weed killer is to vegetable plants in a garden. I mean, if you spray weed killer or put it in the water on the plants, that plant will take that in just as it will just as it will good water. And a vegetable plant in the garden will take in the weed killer and it'll kill the weed. There are some things, if you'll feed those to your soul and your soul takes them in, it'll kill every bit of growth. Here's one more thing. Deal with what hinders growth. Deal with what hinders growth. Amen. You know, sometimes, and I've already mentioned it tonight, and I'm not trying to be smart. I'm really not. It's just the way my mind works. But, you know, sometimes we bring things and issues down to this. Can I do this and still make it to heaven? Or do I have to do this to make it to heaven? Or will, if I do that, will it send me to hell? That is a very, very immature approach to the question. Will other people do it and they're going to heaven? That's so immature. It should never be a question for a Christian. Amen. To do this or that, will it help me go? Or can I go to heaven and do this or that? Or will doing this or that send me to hell? It ought to be simply this question. To do this or that, will that help or hinder my growth in Jesus Christ? That settle a lot of the music question and the entertainment question and a lot of other questions. If you'd simply answer the question to yourself, is this helping me grow a Christ? Amen. Amen. Listen, I'll tell you one thing. Anybody here that has a heart for growth, that it didn't upset you one little bit, you like to hear it. Because if you want to grow, there's something in you that says, that's it. That's right. I'm going to look at things that way. Will this help my growth or hinder my growth? And if it hinders my growth, I say, no, I'll turn it off. I'll turn my back. I'll leave it alone because I want to grow in grace. I want to mature. I want to have fruit. I want to change somebody else's eternity by my witness and my example. I got to thinking, I'll change from kids to plants. And I got to thinking about my garden. I got some real problems right now. I got fungus. Let me restate that. My plants have fungus. Hallelujah. That sounds a lot better. I don't know what kind it is. I don't know if we'll have any tomato plants. It starts at the bottom, and here it goes. Rots the squash on the vine. If some of you gardeners know what to do, come by and do it to my garden this week. Tell me what to do. I appreciate the knowledge. I got to think about that with spiritual growth. There's fungus too, and it's sin. Sin, no matter how small the spore, if we let it in our hearts as a Christian, it'll kill the growth, just like it's withered the leaves on my tomato plants and cause my squash to fall off when they're that big. Sin will do that to the growth of the believer. I got other problems. I got bugs. I've never had the trouble with potato bugs like I got this year. I've done everything. I sprayed them several times, and yesterday I just went out there and started kicking them off. I don't have, you know, that fungus may be sin, but those bugs, I'm not trying to be cute, but they're things we let bug us. They'll take our growth just like anything else. Like I preached this morning, they'll just chomp a little bit at a time. And then I got deer. They're so pretty, aren't they? They're so cute. Went out the other day, and I thought somebody took a weed eater to my sweet potatoes, and I realized the deer had come and just chomped off the tops. Those are things that come from the outside. Those are the attacks of Satan to hinder our growth. But I want you to know, we need let nothing hinder our growth with the help of God, His Spirit, His Word. We can take care of the fungus, the bugs, and the deer, and we can grow. And last of all, and briefly, amen, if we grow, we must realize the fruit is worth it. Fruit is worth it. This demands a whole sermon. I'll just read two verses. John 15, this is the analogy of the vine, and these are the words of Christ. He said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." Hallelujah. It glorifies God when we grow and bear fruit. You know, that's kind of, how many knows that's kind of been the underlying theme all day today, giving God the glory. Hallelujah. Just like when a parent's kids grow and mature and make the right decisions and accomplish things, it just does something to the heart of a parent. When God sees people growing and bearing fruit, I mean, they used to get mad. Now they don't get mad. They show love. Amen. They used to fall to temptations, and now they just look at the temptation. I don't want that. I want the goodness and glory of God. I mean, that just gives glory to God. And when people see, even unsaved people, see the fruit in Christians' life, it brings glory to the Father. One way, it lets people of the world know how wonderful and powerful the Father is by making that change in their life. Another verse earlier in that chapter, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Hallelujah. I mean, there's a warning in that. If a branch doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. Later it says, they gather those branches, they sever them, they gather those branches, and they burn them. But thank God, look here. If you want to bear fruit, if you want to grow, it says that he'll purge you, and you'll bring forth more fruit. I mean, it's worth it to bear fruit. It gets God involved in your life. Hallelujah. I want to grow, don't you? Would you come, music? Have you ever been out in public? Here's a parent, and that child looks like they're about 13 years old, and they keep whining and complaining and begging. How many's ever resisted the temptation just to go over there and say, grow up? How many's had to resist that temptation? I guess I should speak for myself, but there's not a lot of cuteness in a 53-year-old man. And here's a 53-year-old man been saved for 40-something years and pouting in church. You'd like just to go over Brother Brock and say, grow up. But I want to tell you the person that we really need to say that to. How many knows who it is? It's that fellow in the mirror. Don't you know that'd really help that guy in the mirror sometimes if we just looked at him, Brother Keith, looked him right. Won't you just grow up? Get over. Grow up. Be what God wants you to be. See the greater purpose, the greater good. See the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. I'm not trying to make you feel convicted tonight, but that would help some folks in sincerity if they just say, grow up. I want to revisit these verses one more time. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing, verse 17, ye know these sayings before. Beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. There's a danger of falling. But verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd rather grow than fall. Amen. Don't you see that decision there very clearly tonight? Don't fall, grow. I'd rather grow than fall. Would you get your Bibles out? I'm not going to preach another sermon, I promise. I want you to turn to Psalm 1, the first psalm. Brother Keith, you'll have to help me here. Who was the instructor that had us read this every day to start class? Do you remember? That's right. Brother Cantor. Was it Brother Cantor? I heard someone say it. Brother Cantor. Would you stand all across the building? Hopefully everyone has found it in your Bibles. I'm telling you, if you ever get this psalm in you, you'll never get it out of you. I promise you. Amen. I'd like you to read this with me before we come and pray tonight. Would you read it with me all over the building? Could you do that? Would you read it with me? Let's read together in unison. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Verse 3, how many wants to be like this? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the way I want growth in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe a different message, but let's just have a different altar call. If there's something in your heart that says, I want to grow in grace and the knowledge. How many believes there's more to know of him than we know? How many believes there's more grace, more love, more strength? Amen. If that's your desire, I want to grow. Would you come find a place to pray? Say, God, help me grow. Help me grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. Hallelujah.
Deeper in the love of Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Let me go.
Help me to grow, Lord.
Higher in the school of wisdom, Lord, of grace to know. Oh,
deeper, I want to grow.
Yet I pray.
Want to grow. You can bring forth your fruit in your season, and whatsoever you do can prosper. Oh, there's a change. There's growth. Oh, higher every day. Hallelujah. And wiser. Growing in grace. Growing in the knowledge. Conqueror, hallelujah.